your friends around the world.
We all have much karma that we have collected from previous lives and this lives, that when these karmas are triggered, they open up into emotional and physical and environmental states of suffering for ourselves. The best way to eliminate obstacles is the meditation on emptiness, and to focus and to be single-pointed in this meditation. When we do meditation on emptiness, it is the most profound and powerful way to eliminate obstacles, obstructions, obscurations, and residual kleshas, K-L-E-S-A-S. By removing the causes of sufferings, which is karma, then we will not experience its fruits. Having said that, it's very difficult for many people to do such advanced practices such as meditation single-pointedly on emptiness, yet we still experience the results of our actions from previous lives and this life. So therefore, we experience many, many types of obstacles, physical, mental, environmental, and it creates problems for us to actually do our Dharma practice or to fulfill our commitments or to take care of our families. So therefore, in Tibetan Buddhism, there are many methods to remove obstacles, some of which I've spoken about before that's on this blog. And today I would like to introduce everyone to the removal of obstacles according to the Dharma protective tradition. According to His Holiness Kyabdi Trigyan Dorje Chang, it says that there are two types of protectors. One is enlightened and one is not enlightened or worldly. Worldly protectors are beings that are not enlightened, but they have been bound by powerful oaths, or they have sworn allegiance to benefit others, and sometimes they can be temperamental or difficult, and they can even at times create obstructions when they're not happy. So only in certain circumstances would we rely on a worldly protector. Extra-worldly protectors, or protectors that are enlightened, are beings who are manifestations of the higher bodhisattvas or protectors themselves who have achieved enlightenment aeons ago. So within the enlightened class of protectors, you have two categories again. One is obviously showing their enlightened form, and the second category, with the second subcategory, is that they are in the form of a worldly protector, but their mind is enlightened. Dorje Shugden and Setrap fall into this category of protectors who appear as worldly protectors, but are actually fully enlightened. In the case of Setrap being the emanation of Amitabha, in the case of Dorje Shugden being the emanation of Manjushri. The reason why these beings appear in the form of a worldly protector is because they are karmically closer to us to be able to fulfill our wishes and to help us achieve our spiritual goals. So the analogy that I always like to give is, if you have two very close friends that are equally loving and caring and supportive of our actions, and you live in Japan, and your other friend lives in northern Japan, and the other one lives in, let's say, United States. If you became sick, or if you needed some help and you contacted both these friends, of course the one that's living in Japan, in the same country as you but farther away, would arrive quicker than a friend in America, although both of them would like to help you very much. So, the worldly protectors that are actually enlightened, such as Dorje Shugden, remain in samsara in order to benefit others, but appear in a worldly form, just like that friend in Japan, where they live in the same country as you, and therefore able to arrive to your assistance immediately, very quickly. So therefore, I'm introducing here some videos of my talk on Dojo Shuken in the past, a few years back, that you may listen to that will help you. Listen to the essence of it, listen to the teachings, and listen to the meaning behind it. You don't have to be worried about the technical parts. And then, I'm offering you two retreat texts that are compiled by myself from traditional sources, but compiled in such a way that it will be easy for the modern, busy, if I may say, distracted practitioner to still accomplish some benefits through this Dharma protector. You have a short retreat manual, and then you have a long one. Depending on your time and your understanding, you can do either one. What is a retreat? A retreat is time taken away from our ordinary, daily, mundane activities, set aside specifically to focus on deeper meditation, deeper meditational practices to gain some benefits. So therefore, a retreat is when we take time away from our normal everyday activities and set aside time to do the practices. Let's take the shorter retreat manual as an example. It would be good every few months, perhaps every 3 to 6 months, we do a short retreat on Dorje Shugden in order to get closer to him and in order to get closer to him and also to achieve the accomplishments that he promises by doing his practice, which is compassion, wisdom, activities, insight, clarity, good memory, and removal of obstacles, even helping us to achieve resources that we need to do Dharma practice. We can set aside a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or even Saturday and Sunday, and we can do 3 to 4 sessions a day. That means we recite, we change the offerings 3 to 4 times a day according to the sessions we wish to engage in, and we do the retreat manual in its entirety 3 or 4 times a day, but each time we do the manual, we actually focus on the mantra. The mantra can be recited 2 ways. According to His Holiness Trijaya Rinpoche's tradition, it is Om Beza Wiki Witana Soha. According to His Holiness Kajusan Rinpoche's tradition, it is Om Benza Wiki Bitana Soha. Kajusan Rinpoche himself said, either way is fine. No difference in accomplishing one's wishes through either methods of recitation. Now, the short retreat manual, I've enclosed also a picture of a basic altar that you can set up with the offerings to the best of your ability. If you're not able to set up as you see in the illustration, then do the best that you can. Sincerity is the key. And then along with that, you will see downloads of offerings such as Gangze. Gangze is the offering to the Dharma protector of his clothes, his ornaments, his implements, his environment, and sensory offerings. Everything's offered to this Gangze. The Gangze is drawn and illustrated, but that is just for us to visualize as vast as space. Therefore, although the Gangze is downloaded and printed out maybe in a 3-inch size or 5-inch size or 8-inch size and it's offered up on your altar to those you've been doing retreat, but actually that is just for us to visualize the size of space, large and big. So, you do the best you can with the offerings. You set up the altar and the offerings as best as you can. And then you proceed. You can do your retreat in your home. You can do it anywhere in your home. You can set up the altar anywhere. It is up to you. And you start by following the retreat manual as you see it. The most important part is recitation of the mantra. While you are reciting Dorje Shugden's mantra, it would be very good to visualize Dodge Shugen in front of you, and golden lights coming from his body and entering your body, and within the golden lights are millions and millions and millions of forms of Dodge Shugen's body, speech, and mind. The body is in the form of Dodge Shugen as you see it, but in mini form. The speech is in the form of the mantra coming down to you, Om Densa Viti Vitana Soha. And then the mind is the implements. Dodo Shugen's sword, Dodo Shugen's jewel heart, the mongoose, and the bowl of jewels. So that many, many millions and millions of implements falling into you and blessing you, that is Dodo Shugen's mind. So the body is represented by replicas of his body coming to ourselves. The speech is represented by the mantra, and the implements represents Dodo Shugen's vajra, mind, coming and blessing us. So our body, speech, and mind becomes one and closer with Dodo Shugen's. Closer meaning more similar. In Tibetan Buddhism, when you merge with one's protected deity or Yidam, it does not mean the deity and us become one. Two consciousnesses cannot become one, so that would be illogical. When, in Tibetan Buddhism, when we say the deity becomes one with us or merges with us, it actually means that we start to take on the qualities of that deity, which is enlightened qualities or enlightened mind. Therefore, the merging of a deity with ourselves is not the merging of an enlightened consciousness with our unenlightened consciousness. The merging of a deity is that we are blessed by the deity to start seeing the faults of samsara, to see the sufferings of samsara, and the inherent impermanent nature and the projections that we have put upon samsara to fool ourselves into thinking that it is a pleasure grove, when in fact it is pure suffering. So therefore, the deity blesses us for us to see this. And when we see this, we develop renunciation. By seeing this, we develop renunciation. And we realize that we are not the only one in this predicament, that all of our loved ones and the people around us and the people we like and the people we don't like, and in fact, every being in samsara, in this world, also is in the same predicament, and therefore we generate some sort of compassion for these beings, some sort of responsibility, some sort of concern. So bodhicitta arises in our mind. And realizing that we are living in a supposed pleasure grove, which is actually pure suffering, we develop renunciation, which is an aversion towards samsara. From that, we see everyone's in the same predicament, and we develop a compassion, a compassionate responsibility toward others, that we wish to become a fully enlightened being in order to benefit others and bring them out of suffering. So some sort of bodhi mind arises. From that bodhi mind, we realize that the ultimate view, which is non-dual, that has no delineations, which is a pure view of emptiness, is the only way out of samsara. We develop a deep respect and insight into shunyata, or emptiness. And therefore, in this meditation with Dodo Shugen, we gain the three principal paths of renunciation, bodhicitta, and correct view. So therefore, with bodhicitta, renunciation, and correct view, these are the tools, these are the weapons that we are able to fight our inner samsara. And with these three tools, replacing our delusions, replacing our negative illusions and projections, then we start to become one with the deity. How does that happen? When we take on the three principal paths as part of our being, when our mind starts to take on the qualities of the three principal paths, then these are the qualities of a Buddha or our protector or our deity or our Yidam. Therefore, when our mind starts to take on these qualities, we are, in inverted commas, merging with the deity. In other words, we are taking on the qualities of the deity to become an enlightened being. So therefore, in Tibetan Buddhism, when you do retreats, you wish to get closer to the deity. You wish to merge with the deity. Now, when you say closer and merge, it has the connotation that the deity enters you and you become one with them. That is not possible. Why? We are separate consciousnesses. Two consciousnesses cannot become one. One is enlightened, one is not enlightened. So therefore, the word become closer by retreat, by meditation, by mantra, by making offerings, by recitation, by doing prayers with the deity, by merging with the deity, we are taking on the characteristics of that deity more and more. What are the characteristics? The characteristics are inherent in all sentient beings who have consciousness and has the potential to become a fully enlightened being. So the qualities you are taking on are the enlightened qualities of a Buddha. Therefore, merging with a deity is merging with one's inner potential of enlightenment. Therefore, when we do this retreat, when we do this practice, the purpose of doing this practice is to develop these three qualities that lead us to enlightenment: renunciation, bodhicitta, and shunyata. And by merging these qualities, or arising within these qualities, by arising within these qualities, what happens is we have the tools and we have the weapons to fight our inner samsaras. Why? When we're unhappy with the situation around us, we apply shunyata. When we are feeling selfish, when we're feeling we cannot go on anymore, when we're feeling spoiled, when we're feeling lazy, when we're feeling unmotivated, then we apply renunciation, and along with that, impermanence. And then when we are feeling very, very, don't care about anyone, just me, when we're feeling very self-centered, we apply bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is that all of us are in the same situation. So these are three very powerful tools that we can use to fight our inner samsara. And that is the whole purpose of doing any enlightened Dharma protector's practice, is to solicit them to gain these qualities in order that we can have these qualities that gives us a breathing space to practice Dharma. So doing protector practice is helpful for doing Dharma practice. Doing protector practice of any type, Benden Hwamo, Mahakala, Kalarupa, Doji Shukden, Setra, Vishavana, are not particularly Dharma practice per se, but they assist us in Dharma practice. What is Dharma practice? Dharma practice is learning the teachings of the Buddha, whether it is the Kangyur or Tengyur, whether it is something like as profound as the condensed teachings of the Buddha, Lamrim, Three Principal Paths, etc., etc. To learn these teachings, to meditate and contemplate on them, apply them, and gain the result of these teachings to transform our minds from something that is self-centered, unhappy, depressed, angry, into something that is beneficial, that focuses out, that wishes to be a benefit to others, that has repulsion toward self-centered activities. That is Dharma practice. So, when we do protector practice, we are actually actualizing the blessings of the protector to help us gain the tools, bless us on the path, and to help us even to gain resources in order to practice the actual Dharma. Therefore, doing Dharma practice during the degenerate, doing Dharma protector practice during the degenerate age is very helpful, because in the degenerate age, everything is degenerated. There are five types of degeneration, which you guys list, okay? There are five types of degeneration, such as life, merit, etc. You guys label it down, okay? You do it in Google. The five degenerations is according to environment and where we live. These five degenerations actually help and assist our negative karma to open up even more. For example, if you're walking over a smooth floor, the chances of you pricking your feet is almost nil. Whereas if you're walking over broken glass, even very slowly, the chances of you puncturing your feet and bleeding is very high. Kali Yuga is like walking over glass. Kali Yuga is a combined degenerate time as a result of the group of sentient beings living in this era. So the group of sentient beings living in this era create the Kali Yuga, which is an environmental circumstance that helps us to open up more anger, more selfishness, more desire, more hatred, more negative states of mind that are planted in our mind stream from negative karmas from the past. So it's an environment that helps you to open up more negative karma. Therefore, during the Kali Yuga, we are more what's that called when you're drawn?
Seduced.
No. We are more
tempted.
No. During the Kali Yuga, we are more easily swayed towards samsara's false delights, and therefore able to open up negative karma faster and quicker. And the negative karma doesn't run out, because as you open the negative karma, you do the actions to create even more negative karma, so whatever fuel you use is immediately refueled. So therefore, during the Kali Yuga, protective practice is even more important and urgent, because the whole environmental situation that we exist in perpetuates more negative states of mind. For example, if you're near the fire, you're going to feel heat. If you're near ice, you're going to feel cold. So if you are near any of these objects, they're going to affect you because of the nature of what they are. Fire is heat. Cold. Ice is cold. So therefore, if you're near ice, you're going to feel cold. If you're near fire, you're going to feel heat, because that's their nature. So if you're in Kali Yuga, its nature is degeneracy, hatred, selfishness, anger, desire, attachment, miserliness. So if you're living in this era, this time, is created by the group living in that realm. Therefore, it will prompt your karma to open more towards the negative. So Dharma protective practice counters this very, very strongly. Okay? So the purpose of Dharma protective practice can be dharmic in nature if our motivation is to gain higher attainments. As a subsidiary, as a side benefit, obstacles are removed and resources are gathered. Okay? So at the same time, when you do Dorje Shugden's retreat, what's very powerful is, because he is no other than Manjushri, all of Manjushri's, how many clairvoyances?
Eight. Seven.
All of Manjushri's seven types of wisdoms, or types of clairvoyances, are granted to us. Clarity, good memory, clear understanding of Dharma is granted to us. So therefore, when you do Dorje Shugden's practice, although he appears as a Dharma protector, realizing that his true nature is Manjushri, you will know that you are blessed by Manjushri's supreme seven types of wisdoms. You are blessed. So therefore, to do Dorje Shugden's practice is to counter the Kali Yuga, counter the five degenerations of Kali Yuga. Then to do Dorje Shugden's practice is to gain the merit, to gain resources that you need to help you along the path, and protection. Why do you gain protection when you do Dorje Shugden's practice? Because he is Manjushri, and Manjushri's definitive meaning is emptiness. The ultimate protection from samsara is the realization of emptiness. Therefore, when you do Dorje Shugden's practice, you are tapping into the energy of the Buddha's realization of emptiness. When you tap into the Buddha's realization of emptiness, you are countering samsara directly, head on. Therefore, by doing Dorje Shugden's practice, you counter the five degenerations of the Kali Yuga. You lessen your aptitude to open up the negative karma, because you are putting a block. You're also gaining the seven types of wisdoms from Manjushri. You are also creating the karma and the merit to realize emptiness because you are contacting no other than Manjushri. On top of that, you're creating the karma to gain resources and to purify karma that will create more obstacles or have obstacles rule your life. Therefore, by doing Dorje Shugan's practice is very, very beneficial in many, many ways. If your motivation is correct, which is the three principal paths, then it becomes a Dharma practice. But I like to stress here, Dharma practice is not Dharma protector practice. Dharma practice is a transformation of the mind, and protector practice is to help us in this. Therefore, my team of writers and myself all have worked very hard these past few days, and we have compiled and put up from traditional sources Dorje Shugden's retreat manual and practice and prayer for everyone to do. You can do the short one every single day as is, or you can do it on special weekends and special timings. Every few months, take a spiritual break. Take 1 day off, 2 day off, 3 day off, go someplace, or just in your home. Set aside time, set aside the offerings, prepare, and do a Dorje Shugden retreat according to the manual. And when you do a Dorje Shugden retreat, you can recite the short manual 2 or 3 times a day and focus on the mantra during each time you're doing it. Okay? So that means you recite the manual from beginning to end, but at the mantra part you do more and you collect. So let's say that you do it in the morning, one session, and you do 5,000 mantras, then you write down 5,000 mantras. Then the second session you do, it can be 2,000 mantras, write down 2,000. Then the third session you can do 1,000 mantras, you write down 1,000. So at the end of the day, that day, you have done 8,000 mantras. So every weekend you set a goal. You say, okay, this weekend I'm going to do 10,000 mantras. This weekend I'm going to do 20,000 mantras. Make your goal of mantra recitation small and simple so that you don't feel bogged down, you don't feel overwhelmed, you don't feel so tired. Because people who do their retreats in the beginning should do it less, but with good quality. So therefore, that can be like Friday or Friday evening. Then Saturday, you can do another 3 sessions. Sunday, you can do another 3 sessions, finish. If you're busy, you can do 1 or 2 sessions Friday, 1 or 2 sessions Saturday, maybe just 1 session on Sunday. How many sessions you do per day doesn't really matter, but traditionally in Tibet, we do 4 sessions per day. Although it is traditional, there's nothing traditional in this sadhana because it's been condensed. It's been highly condensed to suit the busy individual of today. So therefore, you can do this whole thing for a week. Try to finish a minimum of 100,000 mantras of Dorje Shugden per year. That means you can do several retreats throughout the year to finish 100,000. I repeat, you can do several retreats throughout the year to finish up to 100,000 and do a good dedication. The more you do, the more you benefit. It's up to the individual. After you have done with the items that you have offered, you can give it to the birds. You can clear out in a clean place.
Dorje Shugden is the emanation of Manjushri. Therefore, Dorje Shugden himself is labelless
and has no labels. Who can practice Dorje Shugden? Some people say it's only Gelugpas, and it's only for Gelugpas, but I would like to respectfully refute that. Because that would mean only the Nyingmas can pray to Guru Rinpoche, and only the Gelugpas can pray to Tsongkhapa, and that is totally illogical. From the side of Guru Rinpoche, Tsongkhapa, and Dorje Shugden, they are fully enlightened Buddhas. So who can and cannot pray to them has no limitations. And if there are limitations, they are made up by people of ignorance. Therefore, Dorje Shugden will help anyone, any gender, any background, whether they are Buddhist or not, it does not matter. Dorje Shugden does not harm anyone because the very nature of a Buddha has no inclination to harm. Therefore, it is impossible to harm anyone. Then, Dorje Shugden will bless and help and assist anyone from any culture, any background who sincerely asks for help. What is important is to ask for help, but do not command which way you need to be helped. We don't have the foresight, knowledge, wisdom, and clairvoyance to say it should be done this way so that long term it will turn out well. We should request help And however the help comes, accept. Because sometimes the help doesn't come the way we want. Because the way we want may not be beneficial long term, although short term, it might look pretty good. Therefore, to trust and rely on Manjushri's wisdom, to pray and then let it go.
So, the restrictive practice can be done by
anyone, any place, any time, and there are no limitations and restrictions. There is absolutely no harm, and it only can benefit. Most important is consistency. Consistency in doing the practice. What pleases Dorje Shugden the most, according to what he says through the oracles and through the writings of the great lamas and through many, many people's experience with him, is not your offerings, it's not your mantra, it's not your elaborate altar to him. What pleases Dorje Shugden the most is the transformation of our minds from that of a self-centered person to that of a person who focuses out and brings benefit to others and sees the faults of samsara. Why does that please him? Because a Dharma protector protects us from samsara to reach the Dharma. And when he protects us, he or she protects us from samsara to achieve Dharma, that person becomes enlightened and free from samsara. The ultimate protection of a Dharma protector is to protect us from ourselves. How does he do that? By blessing our path, our lives, our environment, with what we need to achieve enlightenment. So we need to be poor. He will, by doing his practice, we will remain poor. For some of us, we think, oh, that's so scary, you know, that's not what I want. What you want and what you need are two different things. If you're going to rely on the Buddha's wisdom to get what you want, you're not going to get what you want. You're going to get what you need. For some people who do Dorje Shugden's practice, all the resources come. For some people who do Dorje Shugden's practice, they become sicker. For some, they become more healthy. Why? It's not Dorje Shugden making you sick, poor, rich, or healthy. It is Dorje Shugden opening up the karma that you need to experience to purify you of those karmas so that you can go to the next step. So therefore, when we do Dorje Shugden's practice, you have to understand, he blesses us with the situation that we need to become attained, to leave samsara, to understand the Dharma, to realize and practice the Dharma. He doesn't give us what we want and need to increase our greed, increase our self-centeredness, increase our selfishness. That would defeat the purpose of a Dharma protector. So therefore, what pleases Dorje Shugden? Kindness, compassion, generosity, meditative stabilization, effort, consistency, respect, and gaining bodhicitta and realization of shunyata. This is what pleases him. Why does this please him? Because his whole purpose to arise as Dharma protector is to protect us from samsara to achieve Dharma. Hence, he is a Dharma protector. Okay? So, the liturgies that you see in Dorje Shugden's practice is the same as in most Dharma protectors' practice, which is you see a lot of graphic, violent types of requests, which is tantric symbology. There's nothing in the Dharma protectors' practice that will harm another being. Again, it is impossible the Dharma protectors of the enlightened nature can harm another sentient being because they have no karma to harm. They have no inclination to harm, hence they are enlightened. Therefore, the graphic nature of some of the prayers you see in the Dharma protector practices, such as in Dorje Shugden, will seem very violent, but all the violence is directed symbolically to our inner ego and self-centeredness. So therefore, this protector practice, in short, has been compiled by myself from traditional sources. I have watered it down to a very simple form, to a very easy form, easy to follow. And there are a lot of rituals and rites and meditations and recitations that I have deleted, not because I don't think you're qualified to do it, but because I don't think you'll have the time to do it. So therefore, you do not need initiation, you do not need permission or oral transmission to do the practice that I have here. I have provided for you to do at your convenience, so that you can gain the protection of a great Dharma protector such as Dorje Shugden. I wish everyone good luck in their Dharma practice. And in order to enter the practice of Dodshuden, make a good motivation to achieve the highest attainments to become a fully enlightened being. Whether you pray to Tsongkhapa, Buddha, God, Krishna, earth spirits, devas, fairies, gnomes, it does not matter. Dodshuden is a fully enlightened being. You can be who you are, as you are, and whatever religion you are in, whatever lineage or sect or practice you are in, and still contact Dodshuden. I would like to stress very, very strongly, Dodshuden is not for one group of people, one school of Buddhism, or one sect of people. That is absolutely impossible. Dodshuden is for anyone who wishes help, assistance, blessings, wisdom, and clarity. Dodshuden is a world peace Buddha and protector. Therefore, I wish everyone good luck. All of us here are very happy to provide all this information and write-up and compilation for all of you. And I'd like to stress again that the compilation of the short retreat sattva, as well as the longer one, is from traditional sources to suit people of today's temperament. Now, if you take the short retreat manual and the long one that I have provided, they are different from the actual traditional ones done in the monasteries or done by traditional practitioners, because they will allocate time and energy and place to do it. All of us may not have the time or the energy or the help to do it. So I've done it in such a way that it's simple, short, and easy. So if you compare it to the traditional manuals, you say there's a lot of things missing. There's not a lot of things missing. It has been purposely omitted so that the remaining compilation will be the gist, yet it will still bring you great blessings. So I've done this with the motivation of saving everyone out there time. You have to work, you have to pay your bills, you have to take care of your family, you have to even take care of your attachments. So in between, we can allocate some time to do protective practice. The short retreat manual can be done every day, and during retreats, you can do an extended version, which is to do 3-4 sessions a day. Or you can just do the prayer that I've composed to Dodshuden every single day, and the retreat sadhana you can do on special allocated times. And then the very, very long one, if you have any issues or problems, if you have any issues or questions, you can contact any of our qualified pastors. On my blog, you will see a section on the homepage, the right questions to the pastors. You may ask them. There are many qualified pastors and students who can explain more, who have done the longer retreats and who are well-versed in the longer retreats for any questions. Okay? I wish everyone good luck. Sarva Mangalam.